many times this year that you're going to know it. You'll be saying it in your sleep. So it's Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And if I can have the motto picture up on the screen, Michelle, love you. You're doing a great job, darling. Love you. Fantastic. Ladies, God is calling us this year to be a cheerleading squad. You know, we've been called to run the race set before us. And the aim is to run that race well and not let anything hinder us. You know, to throw off anything that would try and hold us back. And yes, we all have our own race to run, but we also run together. I love that. You know, that verse says, let us run. The key is in the us. And guess what? That's where our cheerleading chants and our songs and our words of encouragement come into play, ladies. You know, as we help each other along, we encourage, we uplift, and we inspire each other as we go. You know, today, my cheerleaders have been on it for me because I've had to stand in very last minute for Pastor Debbie, and I've had lovely messages. I've got beautiful smiley faces. People have prayed for me, and you know, it's good when you've got cheerleaders, and I hope in the future I'll be able to do the same for them. Amen. The only thing is, I can't wait to get the pom-poms in the outfit. I hope at some point. Me and my cousin are ready. We're ready. We'll do it. We'll even make up the songs if we've got to. But maybe that's for another day. You know, so we've established also in our motto vision that there is a host, a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. You know, they believed in the promises of God and they were faithful right to the very end. And some of them, as Grace so beautifully read, didn't even get to see the promises, but they still believed God's promises. And they've gone on to glory and they're seated in heavenly places. And guess what? They're cheering us on also. So that's why in Women to Women this year, we are going to look at some of the heroes of the faith. And Grace read that very long but beautiful chapter. And it's known as the Hall of Faith. And boy, was there many names mentioned in that. And we're going to look at some of them over the course of this year. Now, they'll not be done in the order that they came in. And we might have to miss some of them out. So don't be all running to Pastor Debbie saying, oh, you missed one out. Because she's wrote here. I have to tell you, she's led by the Spirit, not by order. Lol. Okay? Laugh out loud, not lots of love. Okay, just in case, for those of you who have used that in the past. So tonight we're going to start looking at a man who was a friend of God, and we know that's Abraham. You know, and the title of our new series, for those of you taking notes, is Abraham, a Friend of God. I mean, who here would love to be called a friend of God? I have my hands up. I would love that. Good. Let me just quiet our hearts. Let's just pray tonight, just before we get right into the teaching. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these beautiful ladies. And Lord, I just pray that you would just position us right now, Lord, just to receive from you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would reveal your truth to us personally. Lord, as we go on this journey together, Lord, I pray for open hearts, pray for open ears, Father God. I pray that lives would be ministered into and blessed, Lord, and we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. So, in this new series, we're asking the question, what can we learn from those heroes of the faith? Those great men and women of faith that have gone before us, who are cheering us on. What was it about their life and their faith walk that qualified them to have books in the Bible named after them, or for them to be mentioned in that hall of faith in Hebrews 11? Well, in this first series, as you know, we're going to be looking at Abraham. We're going to look at his life and we're going to look at his ministry. He's one of our oldest heroes and we're going to start there. And what a place to start. And I'm calling him Abraham, but there'll be some smarty pants who are in the hall tonight and people who have been on the road for a long time, and they'll say, oh, but I remember back in Genesis 12 when he first came on the scene, that's not what he was called. Well, you're correct, ladies. Give yourself a pat in the back. He was called Abram when we were first introduced to him. And we're going to look into the significance of that name change in detail later in the series. Spoiler alert. Don't tell Pastor Debbie I told you, okay? She's probably listening to this. Mark me out of 10. Well, good. She's not. She'll bless me. This evening, ladies, we're going to start by looking at Abraham's calling. And before I get right into the scriptures that look at that, I want to ask you a question. Do you know that you have been called by God? Do you know that God has a special purpose, a special mission just for you? He's got a Gail-shaped calling. He's got a Susan-shaped calling. Put your name in there. God has got a calling for you. And if you're here and you're struggling with that, then I hope by the end of tonight and hopefully by the end of this series that you know that God has called you and you have a purpose in him. You know, the Bible often mentions about people being called by God, you know, for a specific ministry or a specific service. Paul, for example, a servant of Christ, Jesus called him to be an apostle set apart to the gospel of God. The Old Testament priests were called by God to do their special work. But ladies, simply put, to be called by God is to be chosen by God for a purpose. Isn't it good that our purpose is in God? We live in a world where people are without purpose, aren't they? God's specific call to service usually begins with maybe a burden for a particular need. Maybe you've got a burning passion or a desire will stir in you for a specific area of ministry. You know, maybe that's the unsaved, maybe it's the elderly, maybe it's the youth, the isolated, the lonely, the homeless, the addict, the refugee. You'll know what's stirring in you. Other people have more public callings. So we have pastors, we've got teachers, we have worship leaders. The point is, we all have a call in our life. So let's look at the moment God called Abraham. And I'm going to read Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9. So just bear with me, ladies. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said, "To your offspring I will give this land. So build an altar there to the Lord," who appeared to him. Now, Abram actually built the altar at that time. From there he went on towards the hills, east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. May the Lord bless that reading. So, at this point in the story, we don't actually know too much about Abraham at this point. You know, the previous chapters mention his family line. However, in Joshua 24, verse 2, we do read that Abraham's father, who was called Terah, worshipped other gods. I'll just read that verse to you. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods." So we can take from that Abraham did not have a God-fearing upbringing. His family did not worship the true and living God. So what made Abraham have this desire to pursue God when he was brought up in a family that didn't have the same beliefs? He wasn't brought up in a Christian family. And I wonder tonight, ladies, maybe you can relate to Abraham on this level, because maybe you're the only believer in your family. Maybe you have unsaved children, unsaved partner, unsaved parents, and you can maybe relate to how Abraham would have felt. So, how on earth did Abraham come to know God when he was surrounded by a family who worshipped a variety of idols and statues and false gods? Remember, at this point, This was in the days before the Word of God. There's no Holy Scriptures to read. You can't read the prophet's scrolls because there aren't any. There's no international media streaming online sermons. There's no Bible apps. There's no YouVersion. So how did Abraham encounter God? And it's at this point we get to use our imaginations, ladies. It's God gave us an imagination. It's good to use it, isn't it? So let's think about it. Did Abraham look around him and look at the wonder of creation and ask the question, who created this? Because somebody must have created it. You know, last year during the Lioness Arising series, we talked a lot about creation, didn't we? And I wonder if Abraham had a take-your-breath-away moment when he was looking at creation. You know, was he gazing at the sea? Was he marvelling at the mountains? You know, think of those great big things that happen in our life when we give birth or we witness somebody giving birth. You know, those amazing sights and scenes that cause us to ask the big question, who created that? And those of us who are Christians say, we know who created that. That was our God. I wonder, did Abraham have a moment like this? Sometimes when my faith is low, sometimes when I'm struggling a wee bit, I drive up to a place in Greenock called the Lyle Hill, and I look around and I see the wonderful river, and I see the wonderful rolling hills, and I see the sky, and I say, Lord, my problems have just shrunk into perspective when I look at creation. And I wonder if Abraham had one of those moments. You know, did his questioning and his pondering lead him to search or to cry out, is there anyone there? Is there anyone there? Is there anyone there? Do you think God answered? I bet he did. Did he have a stirring in his heart that couldn't be explained? Have you ever had that, ladies? Have you ever had that stirring in your heart? You just can't quite explain it and you just know it's God. I wonder, was that what happened to Abraham? Did he begin to search for the answers? Yes, he probably did. You know, God's word says in Jeremiah 29:13 and in James 4 verse 8, if you search for me, you will find me. If you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. So I wonder if you're seeking tonight. I wonder if you're here tonight and you're seeking. Can I encourage you tonight to keep asking the questions? If you're here and you're unsure if God is real, that's okay. Ask him. He's a big God. Ask him. Search for him because he will reveal himself to you. Ask the questions. So, God shows up in Abraham's life and we establish a few things in the passage that we read about their encounter. The first thing we establish is that God speaks. So somewhere along the way, Abraham has rejected his family's ways and beliefs and he has now turned to the true and living God. And now God is actually speaking to him. Now, we don't know if he heard an audible voice or whether it was that confirmation in his own heart. What we do know is God was speaking to Abraham. But we established in the opening verses of this chapter that God instructs Abraham to leave his homeland. And the first session title tonight, ladies, is Leave Everything Behind. Those take notes. So let me just go back to verse 1 and just read it again. Now the Lord says to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And just to put this in perspective, we actually read in Acts 7 verses 2 to 4 that God revealed through Stephen that this promise was made to Abraham when he was still in Mesopotamia, before he even dwelt in Haran. Let me just read that verse to you now. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God says, and go to the land I will show you. So God had actually spoken to Abraham. However, he hasn't fully obeyed it at first. It wasn't until Abraham's father died that he actually obeyed God the Father. And let's stop and think about that, ladies. I wonder, in your own life, have you ever hid your faith or held back in following God's commands? Maybe out of fear of perhaps losing respect of a loved one. Have you ever been afraid to share your faith and love for the Lord with your parents or perhaps a friend and a work colleague. I need to put my hand up for that. In the early days, I did, because I thought people are going to think I'm a nut job. And I used to care what people thought. See, now I don't give a job, but it's hard, so you can relate to why Abraham held back a bit, yeah? You can understand Abraham here. He was human. He was like you and he was like me. And he wanted to follow God's command, but he was still trying to be loyal to his biological father. And I think one of the things that stands out in this is how patient God the Father is with Abraham, but also with us. I mean, we must frustrate God something terrible with our human thought processes. Have you ever had God tell you to do something? And do you do it right away? No, we're humming and hawing, don't we? Well, I'll maybe do it tomorrow because I'm not really feeling very spiritual today. Or, oh, did I really hear you? I'll maybe need to watch these centres first and then I'll maybe do it. Don't we? I've hummed and hawed a lot when God has clearly said, go. And Abraham was exactly the same. So it's only when Terah dies that Abraham is completely free to follow and obey his Abba Father. And if you're here this evening and you're torn between following God and satisfying others, can I encourage you, ladies, do not waste another second. What God has got for you is far greater than what you think you're leaving behind. Following Christ does come with a sacrifice. You know, there are familiar things, customs, traditions, routines, even people that you may need to leave behind. For those of us who are Christians tonight, think about back when you became a Christian. Was there any comforts or behaviours you had to let go of? Was there friends, perhaps, that you maybe had to walk away from? I can remember when I was saved, there were two friends in particular I had to walk away from. And yeah, it wasn't easy, but they weren't doing me any good. And they would have pulled me back in the world. And I had to put a distance between me and them in order for me to continue my walk with God. And Abraham had to leave it all behind in order to follow God's call for his life and to move forward. So just to summarise my first point tonight for those taking notes, and living like Abraham, a friend of God, is that you have to leave your comfort zone, ladies, in order to step into your calling. I'll read that again. You have to leave your comfort zone in order to step into your calling. The second point I'm going to make tonight is don't allow anyone to hold you back. Be careful there is no one in your life that would compromise your relationship with God. Those two friends I spoke about, they would have made me compromise my walk with God. Abraham did allow his loyalty to his earthly father to cause a bit of hesitancy. So ask yourself now, is there something or someone in my life that you may need to, that needs to be removed in order for you to move on? This is quite challenging tonight, ladies. I am aware of it. But we like to be challenged because that's how we grow. Or perhaps they don't need to be removed, but perhaps you just need to move forward and lay down some boundaries. Boundaries are good, ladies. Let's not be ashamed to admit who we are and what or who it is we believe in. You know, we live in a world today where the voice of the believer, the Christian believer, has been silenced, is it not? Our beliefs have been wrongly criticised, we've been accused as being judgmental or that we're haters, and this could not be further from the gospel truth. You know, at times it feels like the Christian has to be silent out of fear of being perceived as a hater, when everything we believe in actually stems from love, doesn't it? Let's be bold. If we go back to the passage that we started reading at the start with in Genesis, we read that Abraham had reached Shechem, and we also read that the Canaanites were in the land. Now, they obviously had a different beliefs to Abraham. However, we read there that, I'm going to read that verse again, Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So, what's Abraham doing here? Well, he's built an altar But what does the altar symbolise? Well, it's worship, isn't it? Symbolises worship. And he doesn't do this in secret. The Canaanites are there and they can see this. But that doesn't stop Abraham. What a man. So much to learn from this man. You know, he might have tried to suppress his faith a little when his dad was alive, but there is a new freedom here in Abraham. He doesn't hide who he is or what he believes in. He's not afraid or scared of who sees or who hears. He calls in the name of the Lord. He builds an altar. It's an act of worship, and he doesn't care who sees it. Praise God. So what about you? How freely do you worship God? Is your worship abandoned and unabashed? I saw some beautiful abandoned worship at our weekend away. Or do you hold back out of fear or embarrassment? Well, the challenge tonight is consider why it is that you may do that. Consider why it is that you may hold back in your worship, and then ask God to help you work through your reasons for it. Because we want to worship God in abandonment, don't we? So the third point we can take from the call of Abraham is, when pursuing a God-filled life, don't be afraid of what others think. Don't hide who you are. Be yourself and pursue God no matter what or who is coming against you. And the fourth and the final point tonight I'm going to share with you is to do with age. Oh, no. I'll tell you a wee story. I used to teach Sunday school, and the kids are fascinated by age, don't they? They'll always tell you they're like 5 and a half or 7 and three quarters, don't they? The kids used to always ask me my age, and I always used to say 21. And then the church had a birthday party for me, and everybody knew my age. And the next time I was teaching Sunday school, they said, "Mary, why do you tell lies about your age?" Well, all I'm going to say is the conviction of God came on me, didn't it? Anyway. Here at Women to Women, we embrace women of all ages. You know, we have women as young as 13, right up to women in their 80s, all from different backgrounds. And not only do we have many different age groups and many backgrounds represented, but we also have a variety of different churches represented here at Women to Women. We're very diverse. We also have a clear pathway for young teenage women to come up through. Up through Little Women to Women, then into Women to Women. And that's fantastic. But you know, it's not just about older women teaching the younger women, although there is something beautiful about that. I learned from some of the best older ladies, and I've learned so much from it, and I'm thankful for it. But we also learn from our younger women. I love hanging with the young team, don't I, Megan? I love it. The great chat, and we can learn so much from them. We learn from each other, ladies. And Paul writes about this in Titus, in chapter 2. So I'm going to read Titus 2, verse 3, and I'm going to read it in the Message. "Guide older women into lives of reverence, so they end up as neither gossips nor drunks, but models of goodness. By looking at them, the younger women will know how to love their husbands and children, be virtuous and pure, keep a good house, be good wives. We don't want anyone looking down on God's message because of their behaviour." So ladies, age is only a number. We are called by God regardless of what age we are. In fact, when Abraham was called by God, he wasn't exactly a spring chicken, was he? He was 75 when he left Haran. So what does this teach us about pursuing a God-filled life, about becoming a hero of the faith like Abraham? Well, your age doesn't matter. And if you're here and you are of the older generation, the more mature ladies amongst us, maybe you retired, well, this is for you, because God is not done with you. And if you come into the other, you come into the younger age bracket, you're not too young to be used by God. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, don't wait. Don't say, "Oh, I'll wait till I'm older, I'll wait till I'm wiser. I'll wait till I get more time. I'll wait till I'm feeling more spiritual. I'll wait till I hear more sermons, till I'm more equipped." No. Ladies, the time is now. God is calling you now to follow him. So the fourth point that I've made tonight when you are pursuing a God-filled life. Don't wait. Do it now. Quite a lot of challenges in tonight, isn't there? So we are kind of nearing the end of tonight's session. And next week we're going to begin by finishing off chapter 12. So ladies, just because Pastor Debbie's not here tonight, don't think you're getting away with not having homework, because you've got homework, okay? So what I'm suggesting, ladies, is to read Genesis 12, verses 10 to 20, because that's where we're going to start when we get into session 2 next week. And it's a fascinating read, so dig into it. But what was God speaking tonight? What is he saying to us? Well, we know we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, heroes that have gone before us. They're cheering us on, and we can learn a lot about God and about our own calling and purpose through their lives. You know, we're studying Abraham at the start of this year, and we've heard that he encountered God in a time there was no Bible, no online sermons, no church, no Bible apps. And that should actually fill us with encouragement tonight, ladies, especially if you're here and you're praying for an unsaved loved one who maybe doesn't want to listen to you anymore. Don't worry. Just keep praying for them, because God still shows up on his own today, and our God speaks. He spoke to Abram, didn't he? And he called him to leave his homeland, to get out of his comfort zone. He's saying the same to us. Leave behind his old ways and his traditions and obey God's command. He was to take a step of faith, even though he didn't know where that would lead him and his families. And remember, when Abraham was asked to leave Haran, it wasn't just him. He had his wife, he had his nephew, he had all his cattle, he had all his servants. There was a pure squad of them. That was a huge responsibility, and it was a huge step of faith. And Abraham didn't know where it was going to go. But do you know what? He took that step of faith. What a challenge for us. Is God challenging you tonight to take a step of faith? Well, let's learn from the friend of God. Let's learn from Abraham. And let me just reiterate the 4 points that I made earlier. Number one, when God calls, we obey. We don't have no. We obey. And yeah, that might involve sacrifice and stepping away from our comfort zones, but we step out in faith. Point two, don't allow anyone to hold you back. Be careful there's no one in your life that would compromise your relationship with God. And as you step into that life that God's called you to, that will involve living a life of worship. And ladies, let it be abandoned and unabashed worship. Point three, don't ever be ashamed to worship God. Heroes of the faith worship the Father freely. So don't worry about what others think. Don't hide who you are. You are his, and you've been called to worship him. And our fourth and final point, in becoming a hero like Abraham, and that's where we're on. We're on that journey. We all want to be heroes like Abraham, a friend of God. It doesn't matter what age you are, what he calls us, what he calls us to, ladies, he will equip us for. And age is no restriction. The only requirement is that you surrender. So that's our first session of our new series of the new year. And I hope it's laid the foundations. I hope it's blessed you. So let me ask you this, ladies. Are you willing to lay down your life and follow Jesus? Are you prepared to step out from your comfort zone and step into the plans that God has for you? Well, if God's spoken to you tonight and you want to respond, can I ask you just to stand with me when I pray tonight? Lord, I thank you that we can learn from the heroes of faith that have gone before. Lord, we can learn so much, Lord, from your friend Abraham. And Lord, I thank you that each of us here are called by you. Tonight, Lord, we lay down our lives afresh in faith. We step into the plans that you have for us. Give us boldness to stand up for you and not to deny you, Lord. Let your plans and your purposes, Lord, be fulfilled in our lives. And Lord, I ask, Lord, for each lady here tonight, Lord, will you meet them right at their point of need? Lord, will you bless them, Lord, with safe travels home? And Lord, may your presence and may your Holy Spirit be with them as they go. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Ladies.